Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. It has been almost 14 years since Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain and the rest of the U.S. national women's soccer team became role models to a generation of girls in this country. Ever since then, names like Hope Solo and others have replaced them. And the newest all-star for young soccer-playing girls in this country is a woman by the name of Abby Wambach, who plays for a professional team called the Western New York Flash. Last weekend, in a game that the Flash was playing, Abby got hit in the head by a ball. I'm not talking about she was heading a ball in midair. I mean, one of the players on her own team kicked the ball not far away from her, and on a line drive, it hit her. It was a ferocious shot that made her crumple to the ground. The referee put his hand up to tell the trainer not to come out on the field because even though Abby was lying there in the fetal position and grabbing her head, the referee thought, well, the game's almost over and she'll be okay. And eventually she did get up and she continued to play. But after the game ended a short while later, Abby was seen on the sidelines holding her head and lying down, and she looked like she was in pretty bad shape. There has been criticism since then of Abby doing that, not just for her own health, but because she is a role model to young girls across the country and probably some young boys who play soccer as well, because we have to be more conscientious about concussions. And a referee is not the person who could determine whether a player had gotten a concussion, and neither is the player who's just taken a whole shot to the noggin. Here to talk about this is Dr. Robert Cantu, who is probably the leading guy on concussions in this country. He's written a new book called Concussions and Our Kids. Dr. Cantu, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul, for having me. Glad to be aboard.
How bad was that move by the people on that field last Saturday?
Well, unfortunately, as you just said, it just sent a horribly wrong message, a message we've been trying to change and has largely been changed, I think, at many different levels over the last 5 to 10 years. And that is, if you have concussion symptoms, you need to be evaluated by somebody who manages concussions. In the case of athletic teams, it's usually your athletic trainer, your team physician. And if they determine that you've had a concussion, you need to come out of that contest or that practice.
I'm trying to think of something like this happening in the NFL, which has become much more conscientious about the concussion question lately. But if there were, let's say, a Sunday night football game where one of the star players got into a head-on collision with another player and one of them crumpled to the ground the way Abby did last weekend, and the referee put his hand up and told the trainers, no, stay off the field, everything's okay, that would never be permitted, would it?
It would never be permitted now. You're absolutely correct. In the NFL, the standard has even gone higher. If the team athletic trainers and team physicians cannot rule out a concussion on the sideline, not just make the diagnosis, they're automatically out if you make the diagnosis. But if you're doubtful, you're just not sure, they're out. There's no letting them go back.
So hopefully we have professional sports paying more attention to this, but your book is about concussions and our kids, and I'm curious about how this is working out at the youth athlete level.
Well, I think what we're calling for in the book is that we want kids to be playing sports at all levels. We want more kids playing sports, not fewer. But we do want our youngsters, especially at the very early ages, playing sports that are altered. We don't recommend tackle football for five-year-olds. We don't recommend heading soccer for our youngsters either. And we don't recommend full-body checking in ice hockey until the age of 14. That's almost happened since the book was written or started a couple years ago. Ice hockey's come up from 11 to 13, so they're almost there.
Did you say you don't want kids heading the ball in soccer at all?
No, I really don't. I don't want our youngsters heading the ball. The majority of the head injuries in soccer come in the act of heading. It's not the ball hitting the head. It's heads colliding. These youngsters are not that well coordinated in the act of trying to head the ball. They often collide with other people's heads and or other body parts like forearms, elbows, shoulders. I think they can get the aerobic benefits of soccer and can get most of the skills from the sport without actually heading the ball. And then as they get older, as they get greater strength in their neck so that there's not as much acceleration force transmitted to their quite vulnerable brains, then we can think about them heading.
Yeah. The whole idea of heading the ball I say as a non-soccer player and a father of a non-soccer playing girl, the whole notion of hitting anything with my head on purpose just seems dumb.
Well, you are absolutely correct, Paul, that there is no such thing as good head trauma. You cannot condition the brain.
When I bang my head on a kitchen cabinet, I've got to go sit down for about 10 minutes. So I can't imagine why somebody does it on purpose.
Well, it's true. And quite frankly, that sitting down is important, and that's really one of the major issues with regard to making sure that if you have a concussion with concussion symptoms that you don't go back into practice or play. Because if you do, you have a great chance of exacerbating the symptoms dramatically and now having something that would have cleared up within a few days, last months, or even longer.
How much do helmets help?
Helmets help a great deal in terms of focal linear forces. Like if you were to be hit over the head with a ball peen hammer, it would definitely prevent a skull fracture and head trauma. But helmets do not prevent the types of rotational forces that you see with most concussions in contact sports. And those forces come when the head is quickly changed in its position. It's swiveled on the neck. It's pushed from the right side to the left side. Helmets don't stop those forces, and unfortunately, therefore, will not eliminate concussions.
For that reason, can you see a time in our near future where boys and girls won't be allowed to play football because of the risk of concussion being too high?
Well, I think we're going to have to change the way we play the sport. I think, number one, we're going to have to take out all the unnecessary hits to the head, and most of those can come out by starting the sport later and also practicing it differently. In other words, not the full contacts in practice, such as the National Football League recognizes now. They only have full hitting 14 times in the 18 weeks of the season, and they don't hit at all in the off season. So they get the message, but that hasn't filtered down yet to the college, high school, and youth level.
But you say that you can see that it wouldn't that we're going to have to wait until they're older. At what age would you recommend kids start playing football, if at all?
Well, it's somewhat arbitrary, but if you're going to start, I suggest you start at the high school level, and that becomes the age of 14. The youth are most vulnerable to head trauma, and the younger you go, the greater that vulnerability is, because first, our brains are not myelinated. That's the coating of the nerve fibers that gives strength to them. So the young brain, especially 5 to 10-year-olds, are quite more vulnerable to being torn and disrupted than adult brains, not that both can't. Also, our youths have quite large heads. 90% of our circumference of our head is already there by the time we're 5 years old. But those big heads are on very weak necks. So now when you hit the head or hit another part of the body that whiplashes the head, the acceleration forces are dramatically greater than they would be in the adult with a powerful neck.
All right. I'm thinking about our listeners who have kids who play youth soccer. There's no trainer. There's no doctor there. What if a kid does get hit in the ball by a ball that's kicked at the velocity that it was last weekend with Abby Wambach? Give me a minute's worth of lessons on how I could test for concussions.
Well, first of all, I think that it's important that coaches and parents not necessarily be doctors or athletic trainers and diagnose concussions, but that they're knowledgeable about what might be a concussion. And anytime there's a big M or might, pull a kid and don't let the kid go back in until somebody with the proper experience has had a chance to evaluate. So what you're looking for with a youngster in terms of right after a hit is how quickly they bounce back up. Do they get up quickly? Do they get up but seem to stagger around a little bit? Do they get up and hold their head like their head is killing them? Those are kind of big red flags that possibly they've had a concussion. Other things to look for are symptoms. Does the individual seem stunned or dazed? Is the individual fully alert and oriented? Does the individual seem to have balance issues? Any of these red flags go up, the safe thing to do is just to pull the kid. It's not worth taking the risk.
Yeah. If your kid ends up on the ground in a fetal position like Abby Wambach did last Saturday, that's probably a reason to not let them go on and play. Even though people are going to say, but she's our best player. She's got to be in there. We want to win this game. Their health is more important. And by the way, Abby's team this weekend, not allowing her to play because she's still under observation. She should have been pulled from that game immediately. Dr. Robert Cantu, thanks so much for joining me today.
Paul, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Cantu's book is called Concussions in Our Kids, America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and keep sports safe. I'm Paul Harris. That's my portion of America Weekend. Thanks for listening on the Envision Radio Networks. America.